The Gospel of John, chapter 1, is where we'll begin this morning. As our focus is missions, and we continue to focus on that great work of the church, as we have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to take His word, to spread His kingdom, to bring light in the darkness. So John chapter 1, we're going to read the first 12 verses, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into the message today, as I believe the Lord would have us focus on this very aspect of the mission work that He's called us to do. All right, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask for thy help, for the working of thy Spirit in our own hearts and in the hearts of everyone gathered here today, that, Lord, we would be moved as the Spirit moves, that we would be burdened as the Spirit is burdened. We would be filled as the Spirit fills us, Lord, that our voices, our lips, our words would glorify the Savior Jesus Christ. Empower us again, Lord, to be witnesses like the saints of old, like those in the book of Acts, like the apostles and the disciples. And Father, those through the ages who have faithfully carried your word to every corner of the globe, to every place where there are men gathered, where people are living and need light, Lord. Wherever there is darkness, may we take the light. So, Lord, bless this message, use it in our lives, and indeed may all the glory be unto thy name. We ask, Father, these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right. No points for guessing why I chose that particular portion this morning. But, you know, last week we discussed the two kingdoms that are at war, the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of darkness being the occupier of this present world. And we know the enemy of the Christian is the world, the corrupt world system, not the globe, not the planets, not the animals or the plants, but the corrupt system that operates in this world, the dominion of darkness, and how it is manifest in places of authority and power, and has got a spiritual backing, and how it seeks to hold men in darkness, how the wicked one wants to blind the minds of the people, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ will shine unto them. And so we know that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And as such, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of darkness of this world. And so we see that that is the battle of the ages that we are engaged in. But we do not fight from a place of defeat, but from a position of victory. And as we look at this particular passage before us, we're going to be focusing on verse 6 to verse 9 for the major part of the message. But it is wonderful to see how John begins his gospel with the beginning. In the beginning. He begins at creation. we would do well when we go witnessing to people and talking to people to begin there. We are proclaiming the God of creation. Sometimes we come to people and we want to lay a guilt trip of sin on them, but they have no idea who that sin is in reference to. And so beginning with the creation of God and beginning with the God who made all things, well, then sin has a context, sin has a position, and so we need to be mindful of that. That was just free. I noticed that as we read the verse this morning. You don't have to pay for that one, okay? Amen. All right. Just a little bit of something there to remember. And so we're to be declaring this kingdom of Jesus Christ, which is a kingdom of light. Actually, with that light, we're supposed to be storming the darkness. We're to have an urgency about us, just as Jude speaks of that urgency, how we're to save with fear, how we're to pull them from the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. How there is nothing more important to us as a church but to fulfill the purpose for that church. Yes, to glorify God. Now, what brings God the most glory? Souls getting saved. That great multitude in heaven one day that will praise the Lamb for the salvation and the victory He's given through His blood. The greater the number, the greater the glory to God. And that's what we're busy with. In 1 John 1 verse 5, and for sake of time, don't turn there. I'll turn you to a couple of passages, but I just want to read this verse to you. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." May it be so for every single one of us, that we would be manifesting His light and that in us there would be no darkness at all. That should be our goal. That should be the way we're living. Acts 4 verse 20 says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." That was the disciples. When they were told not to preach in Jesus' name, when they're being persecuted for their belief and having seen the resurrected Christ, when they were proclaiming that, they said, "You cannot preach in this name." He says, "But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen or heard. How can we do anything else but tell you what we've seen and what we've heard?" There to be a witness. In Acts 22 verse 15, the Bible says, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." That's the Apostle Paul talking about his call to ministry. And here in our passage in John 1 verse 6, it speaks about a man sent from God, John. John is writing about John who's talking about Jesus. I like that. I really like that. But what I want to talk to you about today is what it is to be a witness of the light. Maybe we should say what it means to be a Jehovah's Witness. Amen. Because it's not fair that those guys steal the title Jehovah's Witness, because they don't even know who Jehovah is properly. They claim it's the God of the Old Testament, the Father. And you say, "Well, my Bible tells me Jesus is Jehovah." And they say, "No." See, they don't know who He is. But I suppose the church are the true Jehovah's Witnesses. Not the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, but no, you know, the true witnesses of Jehovah. And that's what we ought to be. Wouldn't it be nice if we outnumber them on the streets when they go out? There'll be more true believers out there. That the ones who knock on your door and come down your street are Bible-believing Christians rather than the cults. Sad to say, I've seen the Jehovah's Witnesses in my neighborhood out more than I am. I've seen the Mormons out more than I am. And I'm like, that ought not so to be. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about what it means to be a witness. Let me first say this, that witnesses of the light are sent from God. Look at verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Who sent him? God sent him. Look at Acts chapter 1. Keep your place here. We'll be back in John. But Acts chapter 1, and you should all know this passage very, very well, but particularly verse 8, which is the commission Jesus gives just before He ascends into heaven. And in verse 8, he tells us this incredible truth. In verse 8, He says, "But ye shall receive power." When you receive God's Spirit, you receive power. In the context, He's been talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in verse 5. And so in verse 8, He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." and what flows from that. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And as you go through the book of Acts, you'll see it's not just the 11. It's not just the 120 in the upper room. But eventually it's the whole church. And it says when they were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere preaching Christ. Who was doing that? Every member of the body of Christ. And so they were sent by God. We've been sent by God. Jesus says we are empowered by him. What? To be his witnesses. And a witness tells what he has seen and what he has heard. Witnesses of the light need the light inside them, of course. And so we get saved. And when we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit, right? That's the power. And that makes us shine. The problem is with us is we sometimes get so much dirt all over the lens, the light can't come out. Amen. We just need to clean the lens a little bit, I think, sometimes. We just need to refocus. We just need to, you know, somebody I know does he's got a business called Advanced Sight Technologies. And so what he does is, you know how your car headlights start to become faded over time? The perspex starts to become sort of pitted and it looks like there's a smoke on the wind. He fixes that. He's got a process in which he sands and buffs and cleans and looks good as new when he's done. It's brilliant. I mean, you know, you want his number, let me know. But he fixed the lights on my Jetta many times and was just like, wow, you know, can you believe that they can look like brand new lights again? But I was thinking about that process. It takes some abrasion. It takes some discomfort. It takes some work. And then it takes some polishing and perfecting until it shines clear. Hey, maybe we should apply that to our lives and say, well, if I'm sent by God, empowered by God, and the light's not shining properly from my life, then I need to clean things up. And as the mother said to her rebellious son, clean up your act, clean up your life, sort it out. So too, we need to be shining brightly with our lights on. All right. I remember many, many years ago, now I'm talking somewhere in 1995, 1996, Brother Ron Sykes came and preached at our church, at that time, Open Bible Baptist Church, and he preached a message about strange things. And I'll never forget it. He was talking about what he thought was strange, you know. He says he was at the airport once and he saw somebody who had a face that looked like they fell in a fishing box, you know, with all this studs and piercings through and these Dr. Martens boots and they had tattoos and that. He says he thought that was strange. He found that strange. And he carried on talking. But eventually, and he told us about some really loopy things he had seen. And I was like, where is he going with this? And then he said, you know what he finds strange? Somebody who says he believes in Christ and doesn't witness. Then he started climbing into us. Boy, it was painful. I can still remember it. So you can see it stuck with me, not just the interesting, strange things, but he started talking about how Christians who don't behave like they believe are strange. They're weird. That's not how it's supposed to be. And I was like, ow, Aina, ow, ow, you know. And we were in a little hall, which was actually a boxing hall, used for a boxing club. And there was a boxing ring on the side. And we were sitting in chairs next to the boxing ring. And I thought I was in the ring getting punched all the time. Because he was putting it on. And it was all true. It was all good. Sometimes we need that. We need to be shaken up, stirred up, punched around a little bit. So that we realize, hey man, we got to clean the lens so that the light can shine out. I had an idea, an invention. Yep, it's an LED. You know what an LED is, eh? Right? It's a light-emitting diode. Most of the lights nowadays are LEDs. You know, the ones we stick in these are LEDs. They're not even fluorescent. They're LEDs. And a lot of the car lights are all LEDs. And the traffic lights are now LEDs because, you know, if one little one pops, the whole thing's still going, you know? So, and they use very little electricity. And so I thought, hey, you know what would be amazing is if we invent an LED that doesn't emit light. So you're all going, what would the point of that be? Right? I mean, okay, let's go back a bit maybe to the incandescent light bulb and say, well, let's get an incandescent light bulb with a filament that doesn't glow. Whoa! Isn't that brilliant? No, it's not. It's anything but brilliant. But why do we have Christians that don't shine? I mean, it is as unthinkable that we should have the light of God in us and the power of His Spirit in us and not glow and not shine with it, that light doesn't shine from our lives, well, then we're just like an LED, which is a light-emitting diode that doesn't emit light. What would you call that? You would call it broken. If your LED stopped shining, you'd say it's broken. If the church is no longer shining, what would you say? Oh, well, you know, there's so many problems in the world today, and we're just doing the best we can. That light-emitting diode doesn't glow. It's broken. It's not doing the best it can. It's broken. And so we need to consider our own lives and say, wait, am I broken? Have I disconnected from the power source or something? Or am I covered with something that the light can't shine out? We need to get right. We need to get clean. All right, and so recognize that first point. We're sent by God. That already should give you a sense of purpose. Hey? You know, somebody meets you on the street and asks you to do something for them. And based on your estimation of them will determine whether you do that or not, right? Somebody really important to you asks you to do something, it becomes a little bit more, it carries more weight. Amen. This is the God of all creation, the one who spoke and all things came to be, the one who made light, the one who is the author of your salvation, the finisher of your faith, the one who has saved you and redeemed you and purchased you and has promised you a home in glory forever. And he's saying, please, would you just go and witness for me? Shouldn't that really move us? Amen. It really should. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now I'm using John the Baptist because he's the witness we're talking about in our passage. But have a look at John chapter 5. The Lord Jesus is speaking about the kind of witness John the Baptist was. Now remember, he didn't have a massive ministry. He had an important ministry, but it wasn't massive. They immediately pointed out that Jesus was making more disciples than John the Baptist did. So we know he didn't have a massive following. All right, nothing massive, but yet he had a great influence, and he made a difference. John 5, come on down to verse 35. Well, we go back to 32. It says, "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive no testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved." Verse 35, "He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." What a testimony. You say, what kind of a witness was John the Baptist? A burning and shining light. You know, the burning there really speaks to me about the passion, doesn't it? The light is the effect of it going out, radiating from his life. But the burning is that there was some heat there. When you talk about a fiery preacher, you can talk about John the Baptist. I mean, he had no qualms about calling sin, sin. He had no qualms about telling people. I mean, he just told Herod that it's unlawful for him to have the wife he has because it was his brother's wife. And he lost his head for it, amen. But he was unafraid. Unafraid, a burning and a shining light. And in our context, he's the one who came to bear witness of the light. Back to John chapter 1 then. You know, our greatest motive should simply be that God asked us. He has sent us. I mean, we can talk about how burdened we feel for the unsaved because they're lost and they're in need. That is good motivation. That there are rewards for those who serve Christ. Absolutely. That's good motivation. That it's such a blessing to see other people saved. That's great motivation. But we should just be motivated by this simple thing God asked us to. He asked us to be a witness. He called us and is empowered. He just, because God said it. It's that simple. It's not whether I should or whether I shouldn't. Let me pray about that. You know, I don't know if I should tell people about Jesus. I'm going to pray into that and see if it's what he wants me to do. No. He's asked you. He has told us we're to be his witnesses. doing it simply because that's what he wants. He just wants us to shine. You know what Daniel 12 verse 3 says? It says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." He that winneth souls is wise, Proverbs tells us. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says this, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's the same passage we read last week where the devil wants to blind the minds of the lost, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. Can you see where that light comes from? It comes from believers. Why? Because God has given the light to us. He sent us to be witnesses, and that should be reason enough. Quickly with me, look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 15. He says in verse 14, Philippians 2, 14, "Do all things without murmuring and disputings," verse 15, "that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." I think we live amongst a crooked and perverse nation, a crooked and perverse world, but are we shining as lights we ought to be? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, speaking about a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, you know, and putting people don't put a light in a bushel in a basket and hide it away, but they set it up high so that everyone can see the light. He says, "So let your light shine before men, that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Every aspect of your life is a witness, a testimony. It's not just going soul winning at one particular time, but it's everything being done with that purpose in mind, to get the light of God to the souls in need. He has sent us to be that light. All right. So the witnesses of the light are sent by God. Back in chapter 1 of John, verse 7 now. John 1 verse 7. Speaking about John the witness, it says, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light," which is what we've been talking about, "that all men through him might believe." That is the purpose. They need the light so that they can believe. The whole Gospel of John was written for that purpose. John said in John 20 verse 31, "These things have I written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was his purpose in writing the gospel. It was the purpose of the Apostle Paul to do all the missionary journeys he took. It is the purpose of our missionaries on foreign fields to take the light of the gospel to them. What? That men may believe. Remember here in John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that" what? "That believe on his name." Now they need to be convinced. The belief will come as they see our faith, as they see our belief, as they see our Christianity is not just on the surface. It's not religious practice, but it is a reality of our everyday existence. The very people that we are, it's so that they may believe. That's why we should shine. That's why we should do right in all of our dealings. That's why we should, that no corrupt communication proceeds out of our mouths, but that which is good to the edifying of them that hear it. Hey, that is why we should bless and curse not. That is why we should overcome evil with good. That is why, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. That is why, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That is why we give. That is why we go. That is why we serve. That is why we praise him. Because all of our life must demonstrate that light to the world. It's not an on-off thing. It should be a constant burning and shining, a passion. You know, when we used to as a family go camping a couple of times, we quit that because it was hard work. but I remember, you know, now it's nighttime and you've got to head from your tent to the facilities and it's dark. And so my wife and I would walk together because, you know, they're baboons, right? So you don't want her to meet anything in the dark and in the night. So as I walk with her, we would take a torch and we would shine. And I would shine the light where she was going to walk. So that, one, you don't step on snakes. Two, you don't trip on the root of a tree or a rock or whatever, or step in a ditch or whatever. You know, you shine the light so that she can see where she's going. This is what we're supposed to be to the world. We're supposed to shine a light so that people can see the path to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our lives are supposed to be. That one where, that shows this is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we're supposed to point them by our lives in that direction. And that's what John the Baptist did. He was a witness of the light so that men could believe. How can they put faith in one they haven't heard about? And how can they hear without a preacher or a witness? In Romans 10, Paul asks those questions. And how will they preach except they be sent? He was talking about that. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Amen. Your whole life is to testify of his goodness and his grace. You know that woman at the well? She didn't go into ministry, by the way. She didn't become, you know, Samaritan Woman at the Well Ministries International. It's the craziest thing, naming a ministry after yourself. I saw a sign once said, Kenneth Copeland Ministries International. And I thought, what was that? I think there's a Joyce Myers Ministries International. It's like, what's that? What's with that? Why is your name there? We saw last week, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 5:5. And so she said, that woman at the well went to the city, and what did she do? She said, come see a man. She said, is not this the Christ? She was just a witness. Come see a man who showed me all things ever I did. Is not this the Messiah? Is not this the anointed one of God? She knew if she just brings them there, he's going to deal with them. He's going to give them the light that they need. And so she was just that catalyst that took them from where they were in the city going about their business to coming to a place where they could hear the light. She was a witness. And that's what God calls every single one of us to be. All right, thirdly, now back in John chapter 1 and verse 8, we read this. It says there, he was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You and I are not that light, but we bear witness of that light. Okay? Don't, and I've said it already this morning, but don't make the mistake of witnessing about your church. Don't make the mistake of witnessing about your preacher. God forbid. Don't make the mistake of witnessing about the beautiful music program. It's wonderful. I love that music. That's violin, it's piano, it's nice. Okay, don't make that mistake. We ought not be doing that. That's not what we're pointing at. That's not the light that we shine. Hey, wouldn't you like to visit our church? Our preacher will be preaching the gospel on Sunday. Where's the emphasis? I did say come to church. I did talk about the preacher, but with what point? The gospel. And I'll come to our church. Everybody's warm and friendly. Well, praise the Lord if that's the case. It ought to be so. Amen. But that's not why you ought to come to this church. Jesus Christ is why we should be coming to this church. Well, we like the cookies after service, you know. Hey, or the churches that have, you know, coffee shops in the foyer or whatever. I like this church. The seats are comfortable and I get my coffee right there and then I can drink it while I'm in. You've lost the plot. You've lost the way. Imagine saying, we're the true church because we have unbroken line of popes. We're the true witness because we have witnessed all over the world. We have people established everywhere. We must be the true church. We are the true church because we have the right name. You know, we call ourselves the Brethren, or we call ourselves the whatever, you know, Baptists, all right? What are you talking about? We are the true ones because we have the latest revelations from God. We have a prophet amongst us. We have the gifts of the Spirit. And we all talk in tongues at our church, so we must be the true church. But you know what the true church actually says? Jesus is all the world to me. More about Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. How deep the Father's love for us. Amazing love, amazing grace. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Where's the emphasis of the true church? It's on Jesus. He's the head of the church. Who's the head of your church? Jesus Christ. Yeah, but I mean, you know, the moderator, Jesus Christ. No, the head bishop. Yes, Jesus Christ. He's the bishop of our souls in the book of Hebrews. Who runs your church? It ought to be Jesus Christ. That's the New Testament church. And that's what John the Baptist is saying. It's not his own light, but the light of God that he is sending. Verse 7 and 9, I just want to show you that witnesses of the light know that the light is for every man. Look at verse 7 again. It says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that what? All men through him might believe. All men. You know what all men means? Let me just define it for you theologically here, okay? Get this now. It's going to be difficult. Stay with me. It means all men. Anybody have trouble with that? And when I say men, mankind, okay, it's not gender males here, right? It's mankind. You'll get that. Amen. It's not hard. I don't know why some people can't get that. Well, look at verse 9. Just to confirm it, we'll say it a little differently in verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth who? Every man that cometh into the world. The light of God will shine to every man. There is no one who will go to hell not having seen the light. They may not have received it. They may have rejected it, but they would have seen the light. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. The existence of God, reality of God, is revealed in the heart of man from birth. He has to be educated out of it. And so we see that that light is there, and it is for every man. You know what Hebrews 2 verse 9 says? It says that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. I don't know how you could ever limit the atonement of Christ to only some select few. When the Bible says that, you simply have to rip it out of your Bible or take your black indelible marker and cross it out. For every man that God foreknew before the foundation of the world chose and said only them. Just doesn't make sense. Why would you say every man if it's not every man? Why would you limit what Christ did when it says every man? For God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son, that the select few that he predestined before the foundation of the earth could be saved. It's not what it says. That whosoever will come. There's a choice involved, hey? All right. And so our job is to carry the light to every man. Not just some, not just those we're comfortable with, church, not just those who we like to witness to because maybe we feel superior. That it's easier for us to witness to them. You know, it's easier to witness to a stranger than a family member. But it's for every man. Is it not for your family member? It's not for your loved one. Yeah, but they'll never talk to me again. Suffer it to be so. At least they won't stand at the judgment and say, you never told me. Call you a dirty, rotten rascal because you didn't tell them. You didn't warn them. Rather let them hate you in this life and love you in the next for telling them the truth. Or at least not hate you in the next for telling you the truth. All right, amen. The Apostle Paul, towards the later part of his ministry, he speaks to those elders at Ephesus. And you know what he says to them? He says, I'm pure from the blood of all men. having not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I'm pure from the blood of all men. Can you say that? Everyone you know, have you witnessed to them? Years ago, Kent Hovind made this statement. He said that as soon as I meet somebody, I try and witness to them as quickly as possible because it becomes harder after that. So one of the first things he tries to get done is to get them to hear the gospel. Oh, hi, how are you? Are you born again? Imagine that be the next thing after how are you. Would you like to know how to be born again and have eternal life through Jesus Christ? Only take me a few minutes to explain it to you. Or how are you? I'm doing great today. You know what I'm rejoicing? I'm rejoicing the fact that Jesus saved me. Let me tell you, I just want to give you a minute, just give me a minute or two to explain to you what Christ has done for me. Very few people will say, oh, no. Amen. You just want to testify. You just want them to hear. I was a dirty, rotten, hell-bound sinner, and Jesus saved my soul when I heard the gospel. You know what the gospel is? You just tell them. And so the witnesses of the light know that the light is for every man. And therefore the church's commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature of God. And so lastly, this morning, the question really to us this morning is, are your lights on? Are you burning brightly? Are there things you need to clean off your lens? The other thing is, have you been saved? If you're here this morning and you have not been saved, I hope you've been listening. We want you to be saved. We want you to be in Christ. We want you to become a son of God through the power of Jesus Christ. That's what we want. That's what God wants. And that's what we're working towards. Witnesses of the light are sent from God. Witnesses of the light are sent from God to get men to believe. Witnesses of the light do not testify of their own light. Witnesses of the light know the light is for every man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. May it bring clarity to our hearts and minds. Father, in any area where we may be lacking, or where we have let things slip, or where we need to start maybe some new thing, Father, help us, we pray, to be your witnesses, to be light in this world, to shine, to have that burning passion, to shine for thee. Not so that people would see us, but that people would see Christ. Help us to glorify and magnify our Savior in every thought, word, and action, so that many souls may be drawn closer, that they would have a clear witness, a clear testimony, not of hypocrisy, but of faith. And so we ask these blessings and give thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's grab the hymn book.